Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is July 5th.
July 5th.
Happy Independence Day. Yes. I'm sure you guys didn't do, I'm sure no one did anything. Did anyone do anything fun? Did you do anything fun?
I actually, you know what? I had a little barbecue, me and Gina, and then we walked around. There was people out and there was like so much fucking fireworks that it felt like you were inside of the fireworks show. It, you know what I'm saying? It was like it was like a VR experience where you're like flying through the thing and you just had no idea where it was. It was just like it'd be right in front of you, someone setting off an M80, and then someone doing Roman candles like over, you know, just around the corner and shit. And it was like it was pretty crazy. I feel, you know.
Here's my thing with fireworks. I grew up doing a lot of fireworks stuff because in Japan they just sell them at the 7-Eleven, and like my uncle would take us to the beach and we would like use them at the beach. Sure, it had some fireworks that like went up in the air and stuff, but they're mainly like the handheld ones, or like they look pretty, they're like fun to look at. These fireworks that are going off in our neighborhoods, they're like bombs. Like there's nothing cute about it. You know, the way you write fireworks in the Chinese characters is it's fire flower, because it's supposed to be like it's supposed to be beautiful, like a flower. Okay, this is like some Iraq shit. Like, there's nothing cute about it. There's nothing beautiful about it. And I really feel that like Americans like really misinterpreted like the word of fireworks. It's really not. It's really not what it was supposed to be.
They're very powerful. The one that really most of them are pretty good. The one that you're talking about, I think, is the M80, because like what happens there is that the launcher itself explodes and that thing kicks super hard and it's like on the ground level, so it's just like hits you in the chest. And then once that, because that's just to get it up into the sky. So there's two explosions. There's that one, it goes up into the air, and then it explodes again. It's kind of like one of those like landmines. I know a lot about landmines. So like there's
shouts to Vietnam.
We know, you know, bouncing Bettys, you know, they spring up and they get up to about chest height. Then they blow up. Okay, so that's what it is. But yeah, it's getting crazy. I thought fireworks were expensive. I apparently not. They're super cheap, because like all my neighbors have like hundreds of dollars worth of fireworks, and they all lit them all at once yesterday. So yeah. it was pretty intense, man. But it was a good fourth. You had a good fourth.
I did something very special, and I don't even, you know, I will go ahead and talk about it, but. Please know, if there are any comedians listening, I know that there's like this whole thing right now where like if you do this thing that I'm about to tell you that I did, people throw shade at you.
Really?
Because they think you're not obeying the rules. But I'm just gonna talk about it, and I want you to know that I wore a mask during it, and also a condom for whatever reason. But I did like my first in-person stand-up comedy show.
Live show, right.
Live show in Astoria, Queens. I took like, it was like a 90-minute commute just to do eight minutes.
So far away from us, yeah.
So fucking far away. And they have an outdoor setup. It's actually very good. And we're just speaking into like a guitar amp kind of thing.
Got it.
Felt like a very indie vibe. There are about 15 people. And bro, I gotta say, it felt so good. We've been doing Zoom shows. We've all been doing Zoom shows. And I think some of us were like, you know what? Maybe we just need to evolve. Like, stand-up is whatever, you know? And I'm not going to lie. I felt that way for a little bit. I was like, maybe we just need to evolve. And I'm all for evolving. But the second I got on, it took a minute for my body to like figure out what I was doing. It's kind of like being a drug addict, you know, like you don't do heroin for a while and you do it again, your body's like, oh yeah, this is heroin. Yeah. Come on in.
What,
you know?
What an analogy. Okay. Like, yeah, go ahead.
But then like my body like locked in. And then I was like, oh, I fucking remember how to do this. And then it was like so much fun. And that's what this is going to sound kind of corny, but I remember like, I remember the reason why. You know, all comedians know that we could just be like TikTok hot girls and make money and get sponsorships, right? We could all be Twitter. We could spend all of our spend our time being Twitter
making
people,
that,
or,
doing that,
right?
Yeah.
Making hack ass shit, dude. We're fucking all Asian here. We could make videos about rice constantly and go viral on Instagram.
Oh my god, I love
easily
it.
Easily go viral. Get sponsored by Zojirushi. Get, you know, whatever, right? But we choose not to. And I remembered why we don't do it. When I was doing it yesterday, I was like, oh, this is why we don't do it. Because even though we know this is worth nothing, it still feels. It's like the best blowjob you ever get in your life, and no other woman can blow your dick like stand-up comedy. That's all
you
I'm
guys heard.
To say,
you guys
know?
Heard it here first, okay? Stand-up comedy. It's like heroin, and it's also like blowjobs. So I don't know. I don't know what shows you're going to, Fumi. Okay, mine. Yeah, it's a very rough hand job at best. Okay. So,
but listen, I want to talk more about it, but I want to bring our guest into it because
yes.
I feel that kept him from this blowjob conversation, and I can tell that he's a fan of the blowjob and maybe heroin as well. So let's bring him into it, and I'm so happy to have him on. He was actually recommended to us from one of our favorite guests, Julia Shiplet, dude, a long time ago. She recommended us to him, and we just said no thanks for like 6 months.
we were immediately threatened. We were like, nope, I'm scared of him. I'm intimidated.
Yeah, or like another straight Asian guy.
Nope. That's the thing is that when you bring someone onto your show, sometimes what you can do is you can look them up on the internet, right? You know, we all have like tapes and stuff, and you know, a lot of times a lot of comics, like, you know, if they've just started doing it, they don't have like really crisp tapes or they're not that good. But the worst thing is when you get recommended someone and they have an awesome tape.
Yeah, and they're good.
And you're like, oh shit, this guy's good. Maybe I can put him up last.
Oh my god,
that's what happened in this situation, man.
Yeah, he was too good to be on the show, but we've caught up. We've leveled up during the quarantine.
We've tried.
So yeah, man, this guy, he's a stand-up comedy comedian from Seattle originally, now all over New York. And listen, I'm sure he's done a bunch of cool shit, but I didn't look it up. But I'll just let him tell you what he's done. So let's get excited for the hilarious Wilfred Padua, everybody.
Thanks, you guys.
Woo, woo, woo.
You know,
what are your credits, by the way?
I just went to Boston Comedy Festival. That's my biggest one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I
won the last one ever.
Yeah, you did.
That's my biggest one. I don't know. I've done festivals. Nothing big. Nothing like you guys.
No, dude. I mean, let me tell you. I've done Boston Comedy Festival, and I got eliminated in the first round, and I came back to New York crying.
that's a waste of money, honestly.
I did it in front of like old white Boston-y white people. Like, it was just, this is like 2016. Like, yeah. I wasn't that good, but still, it was like brutal. And somebody had seen me in New York and was like, are you ever gonna be in Boston? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this festival.
Oh no.
And they saw me eat shit and they wouldn't even say bye to me. It was like so embarrassing. But he won that one.
I actually was wondering why I wasn't on your podcast earlier. Because it was like 2 or 3 episodes ago, you had Natalie Ocker on there, who's a good friend of mine, but I'm like,
yeah,
she's not Asian. What the fuck? I'm friends with these guys now.
Yeah, man. You were close to our vibe, you know. So we were. I remember when you first showed up in New York. When did you get here? When did you get to New York?
I'm gonna be 2 years in September.
Yeah. So then when you had gotten here, well, I think Fumi told me about you first. He's like, oh, there's this new guy for, you know, he's from Seattle. And it's so funny how like comedy is like a high school, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, there's a new kid, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes that new kid is like a hot guy, you know? It's like, oh, I heard he's a bad boy. Woo! you know, oh, he's done this festival, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's done Bridgetown, whatever the fuck it is. And it's like, oh, you know, and then like, you're like kind of like scoping him out. You're on his Instagram. I was on your Instagram, you know, I was scoping. It was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, what's good with this guy, you know? So.
No, well, everyone told me like my first, because I don't think I met you guys until like I was a year.
Yeah, it's been, yeah, it was a while.
I don't know how that was possible.
Well, here's how. It's because we're all booked on different shows. They're not going to book two Asians on the same show.
They're not going to book two Asians on the same show.
And waste diversity like that. Like,
yeah, they only need a certain number of diversity points, right? We're gonna save Will for next week, yeah. Okay? And we're gonna have Fumi on the week after that, you know?
And then
so,
Mike after that. It's like,
and then Mike after that, yeah, you know? No need to blow our load too early.
Well, I think we've only, like, I've only been on, like, what, two shows with both of you guys? Like,
yeah, if that.
Us three shows have never been in the same room except for at your show.
We've never been in the same room.
I think they're all shows that like we've booked you on. Like we had to force the situation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But if it's like another show that booked like me and Mike or me and Fumi, that's like a poorly booked good. Show. Like
yeah,
poorly booked show. Because they're not thinking about how to conserve their Asians through the whole year.
This is like a really sad, you know, like those like fairy tales were about like a king and a queen who can't meet because they're separated by a river, you know, or whatever. Oh, it's like ancient China. Yeah. It's like that, but with Asian comedians, like, but their last names are both Wang, and they couldn't meet at the show because the white booker wouldn't book them on the same show.
So we had to keep leaving like notes for each other, like under rocks and shit, transform it to. I had to transform into a fox so I could visit you. You know?
Yeah. I
had to grow long blonde hair. Today.
Will, we're so glad you're on the show. How's your quarantine treating you, man?
I mean, it's been dope. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, unemployment is dope. I get what Republicans are complaining about because I'm gonna be that guy, that welfare queen.
Welfare queen.
Yeah, let me live off this shit forever.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, it's been dope. I don't know. I miss stand up a lot. I'm envious of you getting to do live stand up for me.
Yeah, man. Do you have any plans to do any live stuff anytime soon?
I just got booked for a weekend in Seattle in August, and
I don't know if I
can take that.
Why? When is it?
August 21st and 22nd. So if you have any Seattle Asians out there, check me out.
We got some Seattle Anals.
Definitely do.
What do you mean you can't take it though?
I just know it's in a club. You know, it's indoors, and
you got to fly. I assume you're flying.
Yeah, I'm flying, and I'm not as worried about flying, but it's just like,
oh really?
Okay. Gathering people, because like there is a lot of shade being thrown at people who are doing live stand up right now. And
I know we took a picture yesterday, and we debated on posting it or not. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know it was that bad. Like, you know, I mean, I did it, and I, you know, it's fine. If you want to come at me, you can come at me.
I think it's
a lot of fun.
Because you guys, you did it outdoors. Mine's gonna be indoors in a club. Like, you know, I don't know how it's gonna be handled. If it's like the club's gonna enforce masks or anything.
Right. That's what I was. So part of the experience yesterday in the story, what I was really sort of proud of, I guess, is, you know, we all got our individual microphones. So we walk in and they give us like seven different microphones. We got to choose our own. We cleaned it. And so the host, you know, we weren't sharing microphones because that's probably the most like unsanitary thing ever, right? So we'd have to unplug the cable every time the comedian switched and stuff like that. They weren't taking temperatures, but it was outside. Everybody was kind of spread, you know, like 6 feet or whatever it is. So from a logistic perspective, it wasn't like the best thing for laughter, but you could still see people's faces live. And that shit got me hard, bro.
Really?
Hold on, tell us more about faces. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you just like, it also like, you know, everybody trying to do new stuff, as I did too. What was interesting for me was like, I wonder how many of this Zoom shit that we've been working on translates to real life, right?
Yeah.
Because we've been doing a lot of Zoom shows, right? Yeah, go ahead.
So did you do, because like, I would say I probably have like four or five, you know, quarantine jokes now, right? That like they work okay in Zoom shows. They're fine, you know, as much as a joke can work on a Zoom show. Did you try to bring some of those jokes into the set that you did live? And if how'd they go?
So I made sure I like closed strong. So my last joke was like an old bit I have at like Insecure or whatever. But I did a lot of the new Corona stuff that I've been writing, and there was one joke that I had been doing pretty well on Zoom. but it was like eh in real life.
Yeah.
And I thought about Mike, you know, you were saying that this doing comedy on Zoom is like being on a treadmill in space, right?
Yeah.
You're just doing the bare minimum so when you come back to Earth, you can like walk, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was. It's like it's not that they're not funny at all, but it's just like you didn't train them as well as you trained your other bits that you worked on for
real
years.
Bits.
So
yeah.
Like you feel the muscle atrophy. Like it's like, really interesting. Like
is
yeah,
the
go ahead.
Rhythm of your jokes like the ones that you wrote for Zoom, are they different than like the rhythm of your jokes that are live?
I think the main difference is like my problem with Zoom shows or Zoom comedy is you have a funny idea, but I have a hard time like working on it.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't do it that many times.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a Zoom show every day. And also I have one once a week, but they're the same people. So I'm not going to keep doing it. Right. So the idea is funny, but I just can't really work on it. So it ends kind of quickly. But that said, like, you know, a couple of the things I said, like bombed. And that was fun, too.
Yeah.
Just to be like, yeah, it's funny because it's outside, so when you bomb, all you hear are like nice birds.
Yeah, just birds.
So it's like kind of nice.
What I would love is if we do a show in Brooklyn and then you bomb and then a fireworks goes off. Just just me, boom. Yeah,
dude, you guys.
That guy knows.
Yeah, you should do that. Like, there's that amphitheater that's not far from us.
Yes, at the park. And,
you should do like a fireworks / comedy show.
Fireworks comedy. Yo, that's a good idea.
Nobody's doing that.
Yo, we combine the two loves of the neighborhood, okay? We're like, yeah, if you do well, great, you get laughs. If you do bad, we fire off some fireworks.
At you.
It's like the gong. Yeah. It's like the gong show.
The gong show.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yo. You get a but there was like... We give the entire audience Roman candles.
They just aim it at you. Are you doing well? Fuck no. Duck.
Yeah. So, okay. Some other things I noticed that were funny is I missed the sound of crowd work. Do you guys remember crowd work?
Crowd work, baby.
Because there was a host, and she was like, what do? You guys work? And like that awkward interaction, I was like, like this used to be my life. I forgot that. Also, the funniest thing I saw was, not going to mention this person's name, but there were like comics hanging. Like that's a thing again.
Yeah.
So hanging used to be a thing. Like, comedians would go to shows and just hang in the back just to like show face to see if you get booked again. I thought that art had disappeared with Corona, but like there were like three comedians hanging out trying to get stage time. One actually got on. So yeah, I mean, people are fucking thirsty for stage time. And I realized that like, you know, there's a decent amount of outdoor shows popping up right now. And like, we're not really booked on any of them. But like, I realized that I was like fairly fortunate to do even one, you know? Like, I think a lot of people are not even going to get to do one.
Wilfred, you haven't done any live shows since you got to New York. I mean, since the quarantine started for you.
Yeah, since I got to New York, I've gotten booked on.
And then, is it okay in Seattle? Like, is it open in Seattle and they can have, like, shows and everything?
I think it opened up, but I think it's just like everywhere else in the country. It's still opened up a little too soon. Like, their numbers are going up over there, but... Their numbers just started going up like within the last week or two. I don't know. We'll see if that shit gets canceled. It's in August, so.
So you're like morally opposed to it. Not necessarily for your own safety, but you just think
I don't know if I am because I like, I'm not.
You have no morals. Yeah.
I have, yeah. I'll do anything.
Right.
I'll tap dance for a Nazi commercial if you need me.
What the fuck? That's too specific to be made up. I think you actually did that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You got that booked, didn't you? When is that coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to know. but it's, yeah, there's a part of me, it's like, they're going to book someone anyways. So I at least like I'm just I don't know, an instrument in this problem, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, you're just following orders, you know? You're right.
But I don't know. It's like there also needs to be levity, but I don't know. I'm really torn right now. I don't know how to feel about it.
What do you guys think about you know, this is interesting cuz you're clearly like torn about it. And I feel that I would be on the same page, but so like Mark Norman has been releasing a lot of. He's a very famous comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He's all over YouTube. He has been doing a lot of tours outside New York and like filming it, make a little mini doc series, and he just released like a little mini special that he did in Dallas, and he's just doing like a bunch of new jokes or whatever. You look at these comedy clubs, it's exactly what Wilford just described. They're just, they say that it's 30% capacity. It does not look like 30% to me. Like, yeah. It's pretty fucking packed. Nobody's wearing masks. The waitresses are, but the customers are not. The comedians are not. Afterwards, they're all getting together, hugging, taking pictures. And there was a part of me that saw that, and I, you know, obviously as a comedian, I'm like, that's so cool. But as like a person, like a, just an American citizen, I was like, I don't know that I like this. Like, it's just too, it's too aggressive. You know, I don't know what you, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you have seen that, and if you have, like, what's your, like, sort of your initial reaction, or what's your gut reaction to somebody doing something like that?
I mean, so the way that I felt about this like last month was different, because like the numbers weren't spiking as high as, like, now it's higher than ever, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's not so bad in Houston or whatever, and then like Texas is getting the highest numbers ever. I just, like, now I don't know how to feel about it, because it's now, I don't know, like, it makes it, also looks like I'm on the wrong side of history if I go and do this. You know, like, and we gotta keep pretending to be woke as comedian. So it's like, I have to at least like act woke, and even if my words aren't that way, but like, I don't know. I just don't know. It's different now. Like, everything's changing so quickly. Like, I took this booking and I was like, yeah, it's whatever. And then, but now I'm like, what do I, the numbers are going up, and it's just encouraging people to be out and live their normal lives. But that's not how things should be happening.
I understand. I used to be a lot more kind of militant about like, hey, let's all like stay home and all that stuff. But like, after like, it's been like a long time, and and especially with the summer, I think it's grinding on a lot of people, you know. So I don't blame you if you go, you know. I totally get it, and you know, the way that Fumi talks about stand-up comedy, I should try this thing. It sounds really good. Like, I should do it. I've heard about it before. So
yeah, Mike, right? You remember when I saw you on the street when we were walking? And there's this moment where because I was just like, oh my god, that's Mike. I got excited, and I stepped like too close to you, and I saw you step back. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, you know what, don't let that faze you. That says nothing, no reflection on your friendship.
Yeah, that's add two more weeks onto your podcast date. That's what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
We delayed your booking by 2 weeks.
I don't know.
He texted
that well,
me. He texted me. He's like, yo, he got too close. We can't have him on the pod.
Yeah, five feet. That was too.
I will say that, like, okay, so I was at this bar in my neighborhood. It's called Covenhoven. It's like a little bar. They got a backyard space to let people in. Nice. And I was having a drink with an old friend of mine. It was really fun. But we were both talking about this, you know, we're trying to be social in a time where we're not allowed to be social, right? And there were some, like, cute girls around, but we're just like, the thought of even trying to talk to other people right now, making new friends, doesn't even cross our minds. Yeah. Like you can't make new friends right now. So if you, like, this, if you had just moved to New York or something like that, because I know a lot of comedians that just moved to New York and Corona hit, like, you can't make friends. So, like, you probably don't have anyone to hang out with. And I was just thinking about, like, wow, if you don't have, like, a community here right now, it must be super fucking lonely, you know?
Yeah. I asked a girl out on Hinge, and she stopped responding to me. I was like, damn, I should have waited 6 months. Like,
but see, you get judged for even asking somebody out.
Yeah.
Because proposing to meet.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know how to, like, properly socialize and, like, act in this new world. The rules are different. And I haven't adjusted well.
That's such a good point, Fumi, about how we haven't really met a lot of other people. Like, I feel in the comedy world, like, you meet new people all the time, right? There's, like, new comics coming in, new people moving into the scene or whatever. And that's true. Like, I feel like, I mean, you just look at our sort of our guest list for since the quarantine. It's all obviously people we've known, people we like, and also Wilfred. And it's like, we haven't brought a lot of people, you know, like, these are all people we already know. And we've made met a couple of people on a Zoom show, which is like kind of weird, you know, like, you're like, you have to like Facebook message each other. That's not really like meeting them.
Yeah.
So it's true. I feel like we've all kind of like, everyone you knew and everyone you were cool with, those relationships all froze. We all froze, and we're not like making new connections. You know, we're all just kind of like, okay, we got what we got. Everybody just this is it. you know, for
I will
now,
say,
you know?
I feel like I'm getting deeper connections because there's a, you know,
that's true.
My circle has gotten smaller. And, like, we've got a lot of time to, like, reach out to each other.
So yeah.
It's like, you know, like even you and me, Mike, we've been texting. It's just like, oh,
we
yeah.
have.
You know, it's nice we to, have. It's nice to like catch up with my boy and just
my
like,
boy, whoa.
You know, it's like that. That is, we're no longer just coworkers. You know,
yes,
we're actually
yes.
friends who reach out and check in on each other. And that's also like that's something that's very, you know, it seems pretty rare with just men in general.
That's very
like,
true.
Hey, how are you doing? With no like. Let me get on that show or whatever. You know, there's no ulterior motive.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, I got into this game to make friends with Filipino men. Okay. So I'm here. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Wilfred, I wanted to talk just a little bit too. Cause so you're from Seattle originally. Is that like your, I don't know, home base, I guess. And then you moved out here. How long have you been doing comedy in Seattle for?
I'm at 9.5 years now.
Did you get started writing like in college or right after college or like what kind of got you into that? You know,
I started at 24 and I started because I was doing like improv for a long time because I always wanted to do stand up and I thought it was the same thing and it's very not. And then and then I got into grad school in Chicago and I was like, oh, I should finally do stand up and have this trick up my sleeve. That's how little respect I had for this art is that just like, oh, I'll just
trick up my sleeve.
Just have
oh,
this,
hey, check this out.
Other trick up my sleeve so I can, you know, be like this multifaceted comedy guy. And then, and then that was like 6 months before I moved. And then I, you know, moved to Chicago. I was like, you know what? Fuck improv. Like stand up's way cooler, way more fun. And I understand the trajectory and like how to like get better in terms of like developing a fan base and getting famous or whatever. But I know how to get better as a comedian.
Right.
So I just kept working at it. It's the only thing I've ever done in my life where I got good at it. I plateaued and I continued to work to get through that.
Yes. Because usually a lot of times once you hit that plateau, because it's exciting when you're feeling yourself getting better, and then when you hit that plateau, then you're just sort of like, what's the point? Like, I'm not getting any better, nothing's happening, but I'm still like spending all this energy and time cultivating it, you know, and you're just like, you kind of lose heart. Wait, so you have a graduate degree too?
Yeah. What was your grad major? What the hell?
I'm interested in that. Hold on, go back to the graduate degree.
You go to Booth? What the hell?
I have an MFA in writing, but it's stupid.
Look at you.
It's dumb. I should have just been doing stand up. I should have like.
That's cool though. Wow, you really are like all kinds of different failures all mixed together. One thing I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, we were out in Seattle, and from what I've heard, it's a good scene. It's like, you know, it's a thriving scene. But then you came to New York, and you were like, oh, this is like a different thing. This is like a whole other kind of game. And you were saying like how people here kind of take it more seriously and are just really, you know, passionate about it. I mean, like, talk to me a little bit about the differences between Seattle and New York, because I want to talk about how. You know, New York was the mecca for comedy, but now with everything sort of changing, I want to get into that. But first, I want to understand like the difference between Seattle and New York as far as like the scene goes.
Well, we talked about this a little bit, like when we were just hanging. Us three were talking about this when we were hanging out before your Hack City show last week. And I mean, a lot of like New York is about comedy. Like the stand-up scene is just like what's funny, and there's no like. Sure, there are people that throw in shade for like saying something that like might be like slightly offensive, but in New York, it's like, okay, how do I just get funnier? In Seattle, there's just like the city was like celebrating a lot of like identity politics comedy, like, and you had to be like on the right side of history to have like through what you're saying on stage, you had to be on the right side of history to like be championed by the city. And like, you guys know what I say on stage. It's not that I play with that a lot.
They didn't like your Nazi tap dancing.
They would not have loved that one. But yeah, so it's like you have to play like to the politics of the city in Seattle. I just wasn't that guy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to a place where I think that where there's comedy that is being created that I respect.
Yeah, yeah. You heard it here. He likes Nazi tap dancing jokes. Okay, that's the jokes he respects. I like that. So what about... So, I mean, here's the thing, though, and this, I think, ties into what Fumi did this weekend with his, you know, his first show. You know, a lot of people come here. This is like the Mecca. This is like the place where, you know, you can do all these things. And it, I think for a lot of comics, if you want to get serious about it, you should live in New York for a little while and mm-hmm. and just experience, like, you know, because you can get up so much here. You can get up like 3-4 times a night or whatever. But now there's not that many shows. There's not that much stand-up. There's like, you know, people can get up on Zoom shows. And I know it's not the same thing, but it's still like you're still kind of building a fan base that way. You know, there's going to be like other kinds of other. I feel it. This whole thing has kind of broken the industry for New York. I mean, there's not going to be as many restaurants, right? There's not going to be many bars. All these people like lost their jobs. They all have to go home. So I wonder, do we feel that like, is it going to be the same once, let's say we all get a vaccine? Is it all going to be the same? Are we all going to go and continue thinking like, okay, this is, you know, is New York still going to be the best place? Or is it, do we think like maybe, hey, maybe you can start off in a smaller place and just stay there because like, hey, you don't have to go to the big city anymore. There's no such thing.
I still think New York's going to be the best place because it has a spirit, a hustle spirit that no other city has. Like the fact that we're doing stand-up like outdoors, we figured out this little loophole to get on stage, which is like, I still think doing shows outdoors is like pretty safe. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're outdoors. That the CDC said you can barely get corona if you're outdoors. Like, we figured it out where like other cities like didn't under. I don't think they have the mentality to like try to sneak shit in they're either gonna follow rules or they're just not gonna be as innovative as our city and our comedians have been, where it's like, okay, let's find a fucking amphitheater create a show there.
I feel that's such a good point too, and it's interesting because you're right, being outside I think is the key. And if anyone has ever been to New York, you know there's no such thing as outside in New York City. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's two parks, that's it, and they're full of people, and they, you know, there's a cover charge I think to get into Central Park now. So it's amazing that, you know, what's funny to me is that like we're all eating outside and restaurants are opening outside, and like in other towns, other cities, you can be outside and it's like pretty, you know, there's plenty of space. If the sidewalk isn't big, the parking lot is massive. But in New York City, it's like, I'm outside, there's a rat. You know, I'm outside, there's like, you know, a motorcycle like show going on in the street next to me. And I think it's funny that like, if of the places that decided to like figure out the outside thing, New York is a place that tried to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to add one thing to that is like, you know, there's this question of like, will New York be the same? Can you just be famous from fucking bumfuck Idaho?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you're doing some weird Twitter shit, maybe. But as I was at the QED show, what I completely forgot that there's a really important aspect of stand-up that made you better, specifically in New York, is two things. One, watching other comedians. Mm-hmm. I forgot that.
Yes,
I was like,
yes,
I was watching, there are other comedians on the show who were very funny,
yeah,
and they were cracking me up. I watched the show. I watched the whole thing because I also just missed going to live events.
Right.
Obviously, everybody's a little rusty, but there are these moments where they like really shine, and I'm like, oh, you still have it. That's such a funny fucking idea. This is what makes me better. Is I have to see this, you know?
Yes, that's so true.
I have to see this. And then the second part is the commute there and back. You're getting on stage. You're like, okay, is there something like last minute thing I can add to this? That's where I like did a lot of my writing, is in between shows and kind of like on your commuting there. And so when you take those two away, that you know, it makes stand up a little harder to do. But I think that's those two reasons. Those two things are the reason why people come here. Is because you could be in Ohio, but the people you're doing shows with, they're just not gonna be as funny.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. I don't know, man. Fumi, you don't have another live show booked later?
No, but I really, after that, I was like, I gotta make, you know, I don't want to, like, after that show, they're like, oh, we also have an open mic here tomorrow. I'm like, no, I'm not going to come to the fucking open mic. Slow down. Okay. I'm not that thirsty. But, and I don't want to hang at these shows either. But it made me think like, you know, we're all still here. The good comedians are still here. I think it's kind of just up to us to create our own opportunity. So, like, I would love to do something while it's still warm outside, whether that's a stand-up or whatever. And you know what? It wasn't that bad, man. Like, it was... Even we were talking into a stupid guitar amp, and it was super lo-fi, but, like, it felt so real. Like, you guys don't even know, man. Like, when you hold the mic, bro, that's yeah. like, that's like, that's like when the anime character like finds that mysterious sword or whatever,
you're like,
you
King
know?
Arthur.
Yeah, you're like, it's crazy, man. You pull it from a rock, you know?
Hey, thanks for coming over, Kelly.
Oh, wow, Fumi. This is so nice that you have me over.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday night, so I thought we could maybe get together and do stuff. So
oh, yes.
This is, let's go into my room. I have a really big apartment.
This apartment is so big. I wouldn't have imagined it to be so big at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty I'm a pretty successful podcast. You should check it out.
I've heard, yeah. So nice. Oh, we're still walking. So far.
Okay, check it out. Now this is where the magic happens.
Ooh, never heard that joke before. So yeah. fresh. You're so funny.
Now, are you ready to get down and do the dirty on this bed? What do you think about this bed?
I've never seen a bed like this. It looks so nice and supportive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do all the positions on this bed.
Oh my gosh. Including missionary?
Including missionary. Fumi's favorite and only option.
Where did you get this mattress from?
This mattress is called Helix Sleep Mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that just takes 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you.
Whether you're a side sleeper, hot sleeper, like a plush or firm bed, with Helix, there's no more confusion and no more compromising on an average mattress.
Helix Sleep was even awarded the number one bed overall mattress pick of 2019 by GQ and Wired magazine.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you up to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights free, risk-free, unlike what we're about to do right now, Kelly. Wink, wink.
Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Asian.
That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/Asian for up to $125 off.
Oh, you got a condom?
We're moving on to race news. We haven't done race news in a minute, man.
We haven't done race news in a minute. I'm excited about this one because people have been real excited about it. So
Wilfred, I don't know if you heard about this, but headline reads, Professor asked student to anglicize her name.
Oh, yeah.
Is put on leave. I didn't even know it was a her. Fuck. That's how
that
tricky
name?
Vietnamese
was,
name is.
Wasn't her name Fuckboy?
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not blowing up.
Okay. This says Matthew Hubbard, a mathematics professor in Oakland, California, said his email to Fuckbui Diem Nguyen. Mike can correct the pronunciation. A Vietnamese American college freshman were both a mistake and offensive. So there's a screenshot of this. Basically, this professor emailed the student, was like, hey, would you mind changing your name to something because. Fuckboy or whatever her name is sounds like fuckboy. That's an insult in American culture, and he was like offended. And he said, he said something like, if I were in your country and my name Matthew Hubbard meant something offensive, I would change it. That was like his reason. And then it went viral, and now he's put on leave.
Do you know how to pronounce that properly?
It's fuk, like, so it's a like a, it's more like a, it's a like the long U, you know, so fuk, and then bui is the name. So yeah, it's
I think it's a pretty tight name.
And that's
it's
first
a tight name. That's a first name.
Oh shit, it is. And then DM Nguyen.
Yeah, and then it keeps going. So Phuc Bui is the first name of this person. So it's funny too because A, there's a couple of things. A, this is at De Anza College, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, so it's like just perfect that this Vietnamese person is here. I'm surprised that this hasn't happened before. I sometimes forget that the Vietnamese language is a hilarious language, okay? Because my uncle's name is Phuc, right? And for years, I didn't even realize that his name could be considered be something bad, because I was just like, there's my asshole Uncle Phuc, okay? There, you know, I didn't even think about his funny name because I was just thinking about the guy himself. Like many Vietnamese names are gender neutral, so Phuc could be a boy's name as well. So this is a girl's name. So Phuc Bui is a girl's name. But and the second layer is that this guy named Matthew Hubbard, who is a math teacher or whatever at the school, knows what fuckboy is. Amazing. I love that. And then the last layer is that for a Vietnamese person, even if the name was fuckboy, perfect name. Okay, that's a description. Okay, yeah. That's not even, you know, like you should be proud of that name. I think it's a great name. I mean, you know, so I thought, for me, I was more surprised that this is the first time I've heard it, because there is, yeah, that we have that name Phuc, and it's It's hilarious. What can I say?
What's surprising to me is that because every time someone says my last name, they try too hard. Like a white person says my last name, they add too many like syllables and like accents on all the vowels. Like, I don't get why this guy didn't just do that. So that because if you go lazy at it, it's fuck boy. But if you throw you do too much work like all white people do. Then it stops being fuck boy.
Yeah, dude. Just pretend that it's, you know, pretend that you're saying the word taco, you know? Okay, yeah. Just throw it on there.
Mozzarella.
It's too much mozzarella, you know? Like, it's too much spice on there, and then all of a sudden it's not a bad word anymore. So,
Wilfred, do you have a Filipino middle name or something like that? Or do Filipino people just have like regular ass Spanish names?
No, my middle name is Anthony. So, it's like Wilfred. My grandpa's name was Wilfredo. My last name is Padua. Like,
Wilfredo.
Yeah. Wilfredo.
I never heard
that
of that.
That is offensive. Okay,
that's offensive.
Where I come from. Where I come from, okay, Olive Garden is a sacred place. Okay, so.
But yeah, my last name is Padua, which is a city in Italy. And
there's
a saint named Anthony of Padua. So that's where my middle name came from. My middle name's Anthony.
Wow. A couple of things I want to say about this. First of all, I hate when white people do this, it drives me crazy. They do this at the border, right? Like sometimes my mom would like come back from Japan and we'd be in immigration and she can't really speak English. And the immigration officer would always be like, well, if I lived in your country, I would speak English. Like that logic, yeah. Like he did the same thing here. He's like, if I was in your country.
He did that to your mom?
Yeah, that's happened multiple times. I've seen
that happen to
my parents, and it's like fucking so annoying. But he did the same thing here. He's like, if I went to your country and my name was offensive, I would change it. First of all, no, he fucking wouldn't. Second of all, your name is offensive, man. Like a white name to you ruined their country. Yeah. It is. Matthew is so offensive, dude.
I mean, anytime I see a Matthew, I'm like, your name is now fuckboy. Okay, that's it. You know? Matthew, how dare you? How dare you come into my pho restaurant and talk about that?
This also, I mean. Yeah. I mean, my name is Masafumi, so I've had a lot of this growing up because Austin Powers came out. You remember the third one with Beyonce? What was it? Goldmember? Goldmember? Mm-hmm. Remember Austin Powers? Goldmember? Yeah. So there's two Japanese girls. It's so problematic, but there's two Japanese girls in the movie who like fuck Austin Powers, and their names are Fuck Me and Fuck You.
Yeah,
Fukumi is an actual name, but Fukuyu is made up, and they're like twins. they're like hot like Budweiser twins, but they're Japanese or whatever. And because of that, like my name, you know, Fumi, people thought that was like funny. And I remember like calling my friends' homes a couple of times to be like, "Hey, is Jeff home? Like, I want to play." This is when I was like in sixth grade. A couple of times, their moms or their dads would think it's a prank call because I'm saying they're like, "Who is this?" And I say, "Oh, hi, this is Fumi." And they'd be like, okay. And they'd like hang up on me.
Oh my God.
That happened multiple times. And it was just like so frustrating.
They're just like, my kid would never have an ethnic friend.
Yeah. That or like if my friend was like hanging out with me and their mom called and they're like, what are you doing? And my friend would say, I'm hanging out with Fumi. They'd be like, what's a Fumi? Like that happened constantly. Yeah.
No, not
so
Fumi, Fuyu. Yeah.
Yeah. So I totally feel for a fuckboy, you know? I know what it's like to have fuck in your name.
I
used to work at like an international school which had, it was just like all the richest Asian kids like that their parents would send them to get an American education. And it was just so funny, all these like Korean kids named like Frank and Al or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like,
you're 14 and Korean and you don't know English at all, but you chose Frank.
right. Fumi, how you never wanted to go with an American name? Like, whatever. I feel like because like for Vietnamese people, we're kind of like half and half. Like I have a Vietnamese middle name. And then I have like an English first name, but it's also because I'm Catholic and we're kind of like Vietnamese people who got like became Catholic or like we're okay with being, yeah, just call me David. I don't know the fuck. But then a lot of us have Vietnamese Vietnamese middle names. But for you, Fumi, you never like wanted to have like a, you know,
no,
you know,
because
John,
I was
John,
like
John Abe.
I think I don't
You're
know
not
I don't,
a John. But.
I was pretty. I've been told that I'd make a good mic, but I've never taken that
what?
Name.
No. If you go by Mike, I'm going to go by Fook Me, okay?
Fook Me.
I'm going by Fook Me.
But I don't know why. I never wanted one, and I think it's because I felt that my name was fairly easy to pronounce, especially after my friends gave me the nickname Fumi. I just thought it was like too easy to pronounce. So,
right.
Oh wait. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm here.
Yeah. You know, and like my, you know, a lot of Japanese people have like two part names. Like their names are like Takafumi or something, so they'll go by Taka or whatever. So like, I and like a lot of people called my dad Hiro. His name is Hiroaki.
Oh, that's
so
tight.
Like I like had seen this pattern already. So I was like, oh, I guess that's just like what I'll do. So I never. Also, like I speak to my parents. Like, do your parents call you Mike?
They call me Mike now.
Or Michael.
When they were growing, well, yeah, Mike or Michael. Yeah, yeah.
They never called you Zui, your Vietnamese
Zui?
Name?
No, they did when I was growing up more. Yeah, yeah. That's my Vietnamese name. Yeah.
The thought, because I don't even speak English with my parents, the thought of them calling me like Jonathan, like maybe want to throw up. Like, like that's so weird. That's like, that's some weird incest shit. I don't want to do it, you know? So
that's funny.
Yeah, I like stayed away from it, but I don't know. You guys can give me an English name right now if you want to.
Yeah, you're like Toby in
Toby?
Yes, you're a Toby. Yes. Yes.
But that's,
yes,
you're like, you're my definitely name a Toby. Is Fumi.
Well, thank you very much to our guest, Wilfred Padua, for being on this show.
Thanks for
this is incredible. We're going to book you again one day. It'll be a couple years from now when we're at the next level.
Oh, yeah.
We look back and we're like, who should we bring with us? You know?
Yeah, who should we help out?
Who should we help out? Wilfred, where can our friends on the podcast find you?
I'm at Wilfred Padua on everything. I'm assuming you'll be spelling out my name.
Oh, you're killing it on TikTok. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Get your TikTok, bro.
Yeah, it's the same.
How's your TikTok going? I want to hear more about it.
I just looked at it. I haven't posted since May 14th. The numbers are starting to slow down, but I think I'm going to get back on it and start figuring out how to post new videos.
You had a bunch of, like your first five, didn't you have like 300,000 views in your first couple or something like that? Or you had one with like a million or something?
I have one with 1.4 on it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And it also, because it's like it's a joke about like black dudes and how they get arrested so quickly. Like that it got a resurgence with the Black
Lives Matter. Wow, really?
Yeah. So I had like another like 3,000 followers just pop up because of that. But yeah, I don't. It's going fine. I don't know. I stopped caring about it, but I think now that I've got a potential headlining weekend, I got to start. I'm going to figure out
how
to use those numbers to advertise for my show.
That's the crazy thing is like when I was up there doing the show, I was only doing 8 minutes, but it felt like a pretty long time. And then I'm supposed to do a college show in October. I'm like, how am I going to fucking do 45 minutes?
Really?
Like, yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't have any live gigs booked. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to do 45 with having taken 5 months off.
You have to practice in front of a mirror or something, you know?
What'd you say?
You have to practice in front of a mirror or something.
Oh, yeah. I did a half hour on Zoom and I was like, what are these jokes? And it was the first time I was like nervous. Like, you remember like the first couple times you did stand up where you're like reciting the jokes to yourself?
Yeah.
It was the first time I've like had to say jokes to myself in my kitchen in years.
you're like B Rabbit from 8 Mile, just in the mirror. Oh, yeah. Looking in the mirror, just like
yeah,
you know, Filipinos.
Yeah, I threw up on my shirt.
Oh, man. All right. As always, you can find us on the social media at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on all platforms at TheFumiAbe, TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please come to our Zoom comedy show. They're not as good as real life ones, but still come every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
They're fun.
They're fun. Ours is the best, for sure. It's the best Zoom. It's the best Zoom show out there. So please come. Just go to Asian.AsianPod.com for tickets. It's free. Tell your friends. And if you want to support us on Patreon, if you want to give us your money, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod. You have to type in the link exactly because we're adult content or something like that, so you can't search for us. But we got bonus content on there. And if you donate money,
we
guess your name, we guess your ethnicity based on your last name. So it's a good time. So please do that. Please give us your money, man. And I think that's it, Mike. Right.
I think that's it. Let's all hang out. Let's deepen these friendships. Okay, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, we're boys. We're boys.
Guys. Right. Once again, thank you to Wilfred. I'm Mike, and this is Toby. So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.